empty a room and come back into a different committee, but I think we have a quorum, do we? Okay. Good afternoon. We're going to call the State and Local Government Committee to order, and thank you, members, for being here on time. As I said, this is going to be a challenge for us, especially as we have full agendas in some of the committees where we have more members and really more work to do. We are going to have only two bills and a couple of confirmations this afternoon. So, Senator Huffman, welcome to our committee. You have Senate File 766 for us, so please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Thank you for the opportunity to present Senate File 766. It's a proposal that creates a grant program for spinal cord and traumatic brain injury research and establishes the Spinal Cord and Traumatic Brain Injury Advisory Council. Before I begin the presentation, Madam Chair, I would like to, I believe it's the A5 amendment, if it could be moved to be put into the shape of the bill I want. Ms. James could explain why we had some couple of changes to it.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Eaton moves the A5 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you.
Senator Huffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With me today is David Godfrey, who's the Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for Hennepin County Medical Center. So, real quick, Madam Chair, in the field of neuroscience, research towards solving a currently untreatable effects of paralysis is undergoing significant change. In the past year alone, there's been a number of new strategies that are being trial tested. For the first time ever, in people with chronic injuries, that's chronic meaning more than 1 year post-injury. And so at no other time in history has there been more promise for greatly improving upon the complications that come with living with paralysis. Treatment options will provide significant reductions in cost of care, improvements of quality of life, and the employability for over 118,500 Minnesotans who live with these injuries. Madam Chair, also in addition to the resource investments, the review council that's going to be established will give members of the spinal cord injury and traumatic brain injury community a voice in determining what projects are considered most valuable. And so the element that Senate File 766 that is most germane to the jurisdiction of the State and Local Government Committee is the formation of the council. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like David Godfrey to walk us through how the council will be formed and operated.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. For the record, my name is David Godfrey, Director of Advocacy and Public Policy for Hennepin County Medical Center, and I will be addressing Section 2 of the bill, which sets up or establishes the Spinal Cord and Traumatic Brain Injury Advisory Council. First subdivision lists out the membership. The membership includes four representatives from four academic medical research organizations, three physicians with experience in either spinal cord injury or traumatic brain injury, and five members who are either people living with traumatic brain injury or spinal cord injury, their family members, and one member who is a veteran who has experienced either a spinal cord or a brain injury. So that is subdivision one. Subdivision two establishes that subdivision three establishes that the committee shall be appointed by the Commissioner of Office of Higher Ed on September 1st, 2015. The chair that then who has been appointed will convene the first meeting by November 1st, 2015. The terms of the council members are initially will be six members who have a one-year term and then six members who have a two-year term, and thereafter the terms of the members shall be 2 years. Subdivision 5 establishes a conflict of interest policy, and then Subdivision 6 lists the duty of the councils, which shall be to develop criteria for establishing and awarding the research grants under this section of statute, and then also will review the research proposals and make recommendations to the commissioner on January 15th of each year, and then finally to perform other duties as authorized by the commissioner.
Members, do you have any questions for Senator Huffman or the testifier?
Good. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Mr.
Godfrey, thank you for bringing this forward. This is a version of a bill that I had the pleasure of carrying over the last couple of bienniums. So I really applaud you guys for kind of working this. Senator Hoffman, I know you tend to be an expert on this issue, and Mr. Godfrey and the resources that HCMC has given it. I just want to thank you for bringing this forward, and hopefully we can get this done this year.
Thank you, Senator Hayden. To the staff, do we have, you have reviewed the language to make sure that it meets the requirements of the committee?
Madam Chair, members, yes. I'll note that it doesn't have an expiration date because they intend that the council will continue. But other than that, it meets the requirements for the, it meets the guidelines.
Okay. Thank you. It does have a date for the recommendations, which is something that we want, but no expiration for the actual council. Members, do you have any other questions or any comments?
I'm moving.
Thank you. Senator Eaton. So thank you, Senator Hoffman. And Senator Eaton moves that Senate File 766 be recommended to pass as amended and be re-referred to finance. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted.
Madam Chair and members, thank you.
Next in the agenda, we have I understand that Senator Herr is here, so if members, I think we need to, I know he needs to go to his next committee, so we're going to ask Senator Herr to please come and present his bill. Then we will proceed to the rest of the agenda. Senator Herr, thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senate File 694.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to carry this bill for St. Paul Port Authority. This is Senate File 694, and St. Paul Port Authority is chiefly responsible for business development, brownfield reclamations, and job creation in St. Paul and beyond its border sometime. This bill before you, Senate File 694, updates provision relating to works that this organization does in St. Paul and on limited basis beyond its borders. One of the main asks on this bill is to allow the Port Authority of the City of St. Paul, as you can see, it's a little tongue twist, to be called as the St. Paul Port Authority. This change will reflect the manner consistent to how everyone commonly referred to the organization for many years. And with me is Lori Lauder from what we prefer to be called from the St. Paul Port Authority, who will walk us through the bill and accept any question that you may have.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the committee. If you could please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Lori Lauder, Senior Vice President of Business and Intergovernmental Relations at the St. Paul Port Authority. We see these changes, Madam Chair, that we propose as housekeeping, kind of technical changes. We seek to improve our operational efficiencies with some process changes and upgraded customer service to our businesses that we assist. The St. Paul Port Authority primarily works within the industrial sector. Madam Chair, there are six general areas that we're proposing changes in. We're proposing that, as Senator Herr mentioned, that we amend the statutory reference to our name. The existing one is kind of long and cumbersome, and we have been known by the St. Paul Port Authority as that simpler phrase for many years now. The second one is to clarify that indeed we are a governmental subdivision or a political subdivision, if you will, and that provides clarity to our customers, to potential funders, and it does clarify as a political subdivision, for example, that we are subject to audit by the state auditor. It just makes it very clear. The third item is that this bill would authorize us to file with the Secretary of State as necessary as a DBA, a doing business as, for particular services. One example would be Brownfields Consulting, which we have done with other cities in the past, Moorhead, Sartell, Duluth, and so forth, as well as energy efficiency financing. Some of the folks that we work with throughout the state would appreciate knowing that what we're doing is something that is eligible, and that one example would be, you know, saying something like we are the Energy Financing Corporation or something as we're doing financing throughout the state. The next one, Madam Chair, number four, is that it makes clear that if we are involved in acquiring land for Ramsey County, and we have been assisting Ramsey County from time to time on real estate and economic development activities, that in order to acquire such land, that the Ramsey County Board must approve. That is very similar to what's in statute now, as you can see, in terms of the City of St. Paul. Fifthly, we have, with the City of St. Paul's consent, we are recommending to you that we repeal one of the steps in the revenue bond process. As you may know, revenue bonds do not carry with them any general obligation of the City of St. Paul, in this case, or the St. Paul Port Authority. And right now we have to go over to the City Council, and both the city leaders as well as my board believe that it would be much more efficient just not to do that step after my board has approved such revenue bonds. These are what we call conduit bonds, and they are based solely on the ability of the customer to pay back those investors. And then lastly, Madam Chair, there's another repealer which allows currently the City of St. Paul to move Port Authority employees to some city department at some point. We have done some historical checking. We can't find anyone who understands why this was put in law. We think it's 30 or 35 years ago. And both the City and the Port Authority see no need for this authority to be in place today. So bottom line, Madam Chair, this is, as you can see, some operational efficiencies put in place so we can be a more modern Port Authority in our activities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions or any comments? Yes. Senator Anderson.
Swanson.
I'm sorry.
We're all Norwegian, I guess. Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Lauder, it says in here in Section 4 that it facilities abutting the rivers and lakes within its port district. Who sets the port district? Is there a generic or a generalized definition of what the size of a port district is, or does the City of St. Paul set that definition as far as the size? And is it for other cities who have port districts, do they do that themselves, or is there some type of a general definition for that?
Madam Chair and Senator, the Port District, as it is today, is the entire City of St. Paul. We do have a harbor on the river, of course, and we believe that it's the entire City of St. Paul because there are watersheds. There are certain parts of the city where we work very closely with the Department of Natural Resources and so forth. So I believe that was put in statute some time ago. And that's our understanding, is that the Port District, and this is another clarifying point that we're proposing, that it's just the Port District, which happens to be coterminous with the City of St. Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions, members? Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, then I'd like to move that Senate Bill 694 be recommended to pass.
Thank you. And this bill will be going directly to the floor, I believe, right? So on that motion, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Lauder.
Thank you, members and Madam Chair.
Next in the agenda, we have confirmations. So I would like to call first Commissioner Thomas Baden, and members, in your packets you have his application and the information you need. Commissioner, welcome to our committee. We're excited that you are here, and thank you for taking on this responsibility. We would love to hear about your career. I was really impressed with learning about the steps you have taken throughout your career and all of the years you have committed to public service and how you work to this point today. So we're excited to hear that, and we welcome you to our committee. We'd like to ask you to please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and the vision that you have for the agency that you will be directing.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Thomas A. Baden. It's a great honor to be here. I've been with state government. I was trying to confirm exactly how long I had been here, and it's 32 years, 9 months, and the reason I was so challenged to figure that out was that it was before we had an IT system for HR. So I've been around since that long. But it's a great honor to be here and ask for your confirmation as state CIO and commissioner for a minute. And days like this, we look back and kind of reflect on that whole history. And over those 32-plus years, started out as one of those that was counting punch cards in the back room. So literally started at the very, very back room and worked my way through multiple agencies, multiple business lines, lots of projects over the course of those years, and really grew up in the IT revolution around state government, really grew up watching it all happen. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been going around and meeting with each of the commissioners and learning much more about our IT footprint and the challenges that we face in government. And the commissioners have just been very straightforward about the order of magnitude and the possibilities that we can bring citizens and people closer to government in the most effective ways possible. This is a really amazing opportunity at this time, and I thank you for that opportunity. Our vision was set in many ways by you and the governor. A little over 4 years ago, you passed some of the most striking legislation that actually turned minute into minute. IT prior to that had been spread across around 26 branch agencies, and at my most recent job at DHS, we actually had 8 divisions of IT at that time. And so moving into a consolidated workforce, a consolidated technology footprint, has been a really, really exciting challenge. I thank you for that legislation. It's really helped enable really one of the largest government reform efforts in state history. With that and those building blocks in place and starting to set our vision to move forward, our vision really is around 3 basic fundamental things in IT. First off, one of the key tenets is that we want to be able to integrate services so that we don't have citizens or businesses or people that are work with government chasing around from system to system. So one of the key things is building effectiveness, building our ability to bring services to people in an integrated fashion is a key tenet to that. Information and data is also a key piece of that puzzle, and making sure that we can make informed decisions, deter fraud, waste, and abuse, but also make measured decisions based on data. And last but not least is we want to build innovation platforms. We're moving from a time where we had 26 branch agencies, and I'll kind of use iPhone as an example because it's a pretty good one. We had 26 actual different IT groups. And what we want to move to now is the common platforms that we all share. Let's do that all in one place and have one phone company, but then let's enable the innovation to build the apps that make our business run and really make our agencies sing. Some of you, as you're looking through my resume, you probably see there's music in my background, and that's where I came out of. And I kind of look at information technology as a way of saying we've got some amazing people in information technology. They're the musicians. So both our state employees and our IT partners, we've got amazing players. We've got technologies, which are the instruments, which are our databases, our software, our hardware, our networks. But the music really comes from you and the agencies that we serve. So together, that's really how we make music and information technology. I'm really excited to be here and anxious to take on this great challenge. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's really an impressive resume, and we hear your commitment and your excitement about this business through your voice. So we really appreciate that. Members, do you have any questions for the commissioner or any comments that you would like to share with the committee? Senator Pappas.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Batten is certainly a renaissance person with his background not only in IT, but in music and engineering and in the martial arts. So, I did have a question for you in terms of your involvement with the Minsure system. Do you have any... You know, what should have been done differently there? What were some of the problems that with more foreplanning could have been avoided so that the rollout had been more successful?
I think three fundamental things. The first one being time. It was, I testified, I believe, back December of 2012 that I really believed that this was a three-year project. Always thought it was a three-year project. Making sure that actually a lot of the actions that we took here back in June of 2014 were a lot of the key things that we really needed to do. Make sure that we had good, solid governance, that we could manage all of the levers that you have in your toolbox when you're managing a big IT complex project. Managing scope, making sure that the scope of what you're delivering is doable. So good governance around that. The right project management discipline will help your batting average of being successful on those projects, and we put that in here in June of 14th, and I believe that June of 14th, which I believe really helped us a lot, and then really managing to realistic scope. Oftentimes a project like this, the aspirations are greater than the time and the physical will and the resource that it can be accomplished. And that sometimes is very difficult medicine when you aspire to have a perfect thing with a vast amount of function and having the time to execute it. It was tough. In fact, I think it was the most aggressive timeline that I'd seen in my 32 years. We did a lot of things right, but there's a long way to go. There's a lot of things that still need to be corrected and developed on that effort. A lot of things.
Thank you for your honesty.
Thank you. Senator Eaton.
Thank you. Commissioner Badd, I guess what I've been asking a lot of the commissioners is that after over a decade of cuts and belt tightening in the different departments, I'm wondering at the actually low request from Minute for funding and wondering if that's enough to keep up the software. And it's been how long since SWIFT started now? We're some of that's starting to get older, and at least my understanding, my phone's out of date as soon as I buy it. So, I mean, could you talk about that a little?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and committee members, it's a really good question. We've, over the last 4 years in particular, since the legislation went into effect, we've kept our cost profile just about flat, and consumption has gone up. And you're right that there are some systems that are hitting end of life. In my previous role at the Department of Human Services, it was one of my greatest concerns. And fortunately, and thank you, the legislature funded the Systems Modernization Project, which is really targeted at MAXIS and PRISM, which is our combined eligibility system and our child support systems, which are the good news about having systems that are around 20, 25 years is they're really, really stable, and they're rock solid. The tough part of it is we can't find programmers to program in those languages anymore. And with a large group of retirements happening on a regular basis, one of my other pieces of concern there is that we're losing a lot of the folks that not only have the technical knowledge to run those systems, but also the technical folks that have the business acumen to go along with it. There are some requests that have gone in to modernize some of the systems here this year, and generally those are coming out of the agencies, and you'll see some of those. But we did also accomplish last year in Human Services, we rolled out a modernization of the sex offender program software, the North Star for Kids, Men Choices, state hospital system. So there were five major rollouts there last year at DHS that are happening in and amongst all of the activities. We're trying to manage those costs, and we're doing that by looking at the common core activities that we can see economies of scale and reduce costs costs there, and then actually put those efforts more toward, like I said, those apps that are going after those older systems.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? Any comments? Well, Commissioner, we look forward to continuing this conversation and really to see you moving forward some creative, efficient ideas in government. And at this point, I would like to entertain a motion. And so Senator Eaton moves that the Committee on State and Local Government recommends Thomas Baden be confirmed. This is not written correctly. Sorry about this. That the Senate confirms the appointment of Mr. Thomas Baden as a commissioner of MT. All of those in favor? I will say Minnesota IT is a lot easier for me. Yeah. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Congratulations, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, everybody. Look forward to working with
Thank you. Next, we have the Commissioner of Department of Administration. Commissioner Massman, welcome. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. I am Matt Mossman, Commissioner of Administration.
And members, you also have in your packet his resume and his application for your review. Commissioner, welcome. We are excited to have you here, and we are eager to hear your presentation. I know you have been incredibly busy with so many projects that you're working on, but particularly this incredible, very impressive project of the Capitol, and so we are looking forward to hear what you have to tell us today.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I promise that I did not ask for any particular unique quiet in the Capitol during my presentation, so I know that you've all been dealing with some noise during the restoration project, and to a good end, I'm sure. But thank you for the opportunity to present my credentials this afternoon and for your consideration of my confirmation. It is absolutely a privilege to be here today and to have been asked by Governor Dayton to serve as Commissioner of Administration for the state of Minnesota. As you can see from my materials over the past 15 years, I've worked with many of you, and I've had the opportunity to serve as staff to both the House and the Senate, both bodies of the legislature, the governor, and executive agencies in various budget and management roles. My experience, I believe, with both the House and the Senate gives me a great appreciation for your service, for the sacrifices that you make to serve, and for the collective responsibility that we all have to ensure Minnesota continues its success. Certainly, as you know, and as you mentioned, Madam Chair, one of the core responsibilities of the department is the management of state construction projects, and I am, you know, just really delighted to have the opportunity to be commissioner during this very historic time as the state restores its tremendous capital and amazing capital for the first time in 105 years, and so I really look forward to the outcome of that in 2017, and I think over the last several decades, the conversation about that has been a bipartisan effort, and I think it will be something that we can all be proud of as Minnesotans when it's completed. The department's portfolio, of course, ranges from core functions of construction to real estate management to facility management and other services. And I just think one of the really important things that is consistent across all of the agencies' roles and responsibilities is the expectation that admin be a leader at providing and supporting management practices within state government that deliver the best value for state government operations. And some just quick examples of how the agency has done that and how me and my team are planning to build on that over the next years going forward. Just in the last couple years, the department has achieved in its worker compensation and safety programs a 23% reduction in workplace injuries, which has a direct impact on saving money for state agencies in terms of lowering workers' compensation costs and resulting in some real efficiencies. The SMART program routinely provides centralized accounting and procurement services to small agency boards and commissions so that they can do their work and focus on their missions more effectively. And over the last couple fiscal years, our procurement office has actually saved the state nearly $50 million in negotiated savings just by negotiating downward when we can from solicitations when they come into state government and we see opportunities in the marketplace to actually find some more savings in low bid procurement efforts. So as commissioner, I'll provide in my goal and my vision and my leadership, as you all know and I've worked with many of you, has been primarily in the area of state budgeting and policymaking, and I really want to build on those opportunities. I think as commissioner of administration, one of the real key opportunities is the opportunity to see that part of the solution is always about how much and how little and the budget conversation, and then there's a real opportunity to make sure and that government is delivering the best services by how we use the resources we do and making sure that the values we bring to those are constantly being innovative, providing leadership and thoughtful, sensible solutions to always looking for ways that we can improve upon the work that we do. A couple of things that we have initiated right away at the Department of Administration is to take a look at how our programs for veterans, minority, and women-owned businesses are working and how they can work more effectively, and we have some budget requests related to that, as well as some initiatives that we're working with under the governor's diversity and inclusion executive order. And certainly, just to make sure that we're doing all that we can, many of you may know that the Department of Administration, in addition to the SMART program and other resources like that, hosts some of the tools like the continuous improvement effort in state government to provide tools to other state agencies to help continue work across the enterprise to be looking at ways that improving processes, improving systems, and improving outcomes for state government, and also wanting to be a leader on the plain language related to that so that people who use and need to access state government can do so easily and effectively. So, Madam Chair and members, those are my priorities and some of the things that we are starting to work on at the agency, and I just believe that to have an effective and responsive state government that meets the needs of Minnesota, that we continue to be innovative, and that's my commitment at the Department of Administration to continue working on that and building on the successes we have had made in the past and want to make more of in the future. So I look forward to working with all of you to do that in my tenure, and I look forward to working with you in particular the session on proposals we have, and I thank you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Thompson and Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Massman, I just had one question. Some members, I think, have felt as though there hasn't been information forthcoming about the Capitol renovation blueprints and what's going on, and particularly how that relates to the Senate office building, and are there going to be additional offices for members over here? And I guess I would just ask, specifically with regard to that, what the plan is, and then secondly, is it your belief that legislators do or do not have the right to kind of oversee projects that are going on within the executive branch?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Senator Thompson, thank you for the question. So there's two projects, and obviously they go hand in hand in terms of the impact they will have for generations to come in the Capitol complex. And the oversight of the restoration project has been delegated under the arrangement that the legislature put into place to the Capital Preservation Commission. And so the department has pretty consistently, I think, followed the projects are broken into work packages, both of them, as a way of managing the project. And we have, I think, been pretty transparent with sharing at the times of when those work packages have been completed, sharing what changes, if any, were occurring in the building projects at those point of work packages. As you know, and has been obviously well covered with the projects, there have been discussions that happen in between those work packages. And a lot of times those result in conversations that have the plans in a state of flux, and then they flesh themselves out and are articulated through the work packages. And it's at the point of those work packages that we have made the information available. And I believe that it's up on our website on the Capitol Restoration. And if there's more information that legislators would like, we would be happy to provide it. So, and I would say also one of the key things as we would do with any of our lease tenants in the Capitol complex are we work very closely with the leaders and the building managers, whether it be a state agency or a legislative body, with the entity that's going to be using the space. So we work very closely with the tenants in terms of how that space will be utilized and what it will look like in terms of preparing for the space.
Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Pappas.
Commissioner, we know that we have an aging workforce in state government, and we also know that we have a workforce shortage in general in our state. What kinds of strategies is admin looking into that to address this in the future, or down the road, or even now?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Senator Pappas, thank you for the question. And actually, the Department of Administration has, on average, I believe, the oldest agency in state government. So this has been a question that we have been certainly discussing at the department, and I think we're closely followed by some of the other central service agencies. And one of the things, for example, I think IT, it's maybe not ironic that I'm following Commissioner Baden's presentation, but I think IT always needs to be in state government one of the key pieces of that conversation, regardless of the age demographics really of an agency, but just to make sure that we're fully utilizing that. One of the things that I have initiated just since starting is we didn't have a very we're operating in a bit of silos in our conversation in the department and creating an agency-wide entity, a governance structure to both be creative and prioritize where the highest need is within our agency to make sure we're deploying IT effectively. Both that's important, I think, to be prepared for workload changes, but also to capture knowledge that we will lose and make sure we're transferring knowledge from one generation of worker to the next, because I think that's a very critical part of it also.
Any other questions, members? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Mossman, as the Senate building is being built, will administration be in charge of managing the building, or who are you planning on having oversee the day-to-day operations?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Senator Anderson, so the Department of Administration has direct responsibility oversight over 22 buildings within the state Capitol complex, and one of those will be the new, just like the state office building, the Department of Administration is the custodial owner, if you will, of the Capitol and the state office building, and will be of the new legislative building. We manage those facilities through either lease terms or arrangements with the entities that occupy the buildings, and so that arrangement is the same arrangement we will use for the new office building that the Senate will occupy. And so we will be the custodial owner and manage the facility operations, if you will. But I, you know, just to be clear to your question, the tenant obviously will occupy and use the space as any tenant would in a public or privately operated building.
Thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Mossman, you mentioned leasing. Do you have any projections as to what the lease agreements might look like as far as details to that?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Senator, we have already entered into a lease agreement with the Senate, so that arrangement is, the lease terms are fairly similar across all of the entities that we, in state government, that we work with in terms of laying out the terms and conditions and the coverage of costs and that sort of thing.
Madam Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. So could we see what that agreement is?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair and Senator, I will follow up with you on that, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner, and I presume, you know, all of these aspects of kind of the details of this are managed through the Minnesota State Capital Preservation Committee, right? Is that how kind of the building and the structuring process. Once it is in place, obviously administration takes over the logistics, but
Madam Chair, most of that negotiation and configuring of
this process is taken through that committee?
Madam Chair, that's true for the Capitol building itself, for the restoration portion of the Capitol building works with the Preservation Commission. The construction of the new building is a separate contract.
Okay. Members, do you have any other questions? Any comments? If not, I would like to entertain a motion. So Senator Scalzi moves that the Committee on State and Local Government recommends that the Senate confirms the appointment of Mr. Matt Massman as the Commissioner of Administration. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion is adopted. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner. Members, I think this is all we have for today. So thank you for your attendance, and we will adjourn for today and see you.